Model GF, podcaster BF. And she says, what does that mean? And I just go, it's just, it's a compliment, but also a joke.
Now, to stave off, I'm going to kill chat activity by doing this. I'm going to put myself down here. Now, I know what you're saying. Why would you do that? No streamer would ever recommend it because you've just cost yourself 1,000 chat messages of engagement that say, please move your camera. But I do it because the quality of the content is paramount to me. It's important above all else. Sorry. Why did we stop a run here? I don't remember. I've been getting my ass beat, though. Win streak minus two. You know how embarrassing that is? When my goat is washed, I'm feeling like Dave Chappelle's new Netflix special. Oh, why don't you watch it before you say that shit? I did watch it. I watched the whole thing, bro. I felt like I had to give it a fair shake. Why? Because I'm a millennial, so it's hard for me. I mean, like if Michael Jordan came back to play like one game in the NBA every 9 months, you're telling me you wouldn't watch that shit? You're like, come on, I know he's washed, but maybe he's not. Maybe he's over it. And then, you know, like 20 minutes in, you're like, nah, he ain't coming back, bro. A few chuckles, but not worth the hour. I mean, I have respect for Dave Chappelle as a dedicated stand-up comedian who obviously has commitment to his craft. But I think that, especially as time has gone on, he's become so self-indulgent as, like, the comedians are the modern-day philosophers, sort of, like, insanity. Like, we're supposed to be, like, truth-tellers that make society face uncomfortable facts about itself, and I'm like, brother, I don't know if you got the sauce for that. I think because you just keep telling the same thing that you feel is your truth over and over, and I think even the people who like Dave Chappelle are like, we get it, man. Like we got it. You got an axe to grind with the trans community, but like at some point, surely even the people who like agree with you are like, can we move on to something else? I hope it's like that, at least. Like, it's insane. It sucks too, because he's like an incredible storyteller. Like, he's mastered the art of building a story and then yanking the rug and then rebuilding it with like a message at the end of it. But it's just the actual content of the story is not there anymore. It's just gone. Something happens. But yeah, I'll still watch Chappelle's show. I guess. I don't know. I haven't seen it in a while. I do own, like every other millennial of a certain age, of course I own season 2 on DVD. I don't know if DVDs go bad. If they do go bad, that shit went bad in college for sure, because we were running the PS2 was running overtime playing Charlie Murphy's Prince basketball sketch, game blouses. Soon the sun will engulf the earth anyway. I think about that sometimes. It's a long way away. You ever see the tweet that is like that when Jesse Pinkman's really upset? That's the picture. And then the text is me at age 10 learning that the sun is going to destroy the earth in 7.8 billion years. Oh, man. That had me messed up. I mean, it kind of, what's funny is that there's like, there's three phases, right? So phase one is becoming distraught because you learn that eventually the earth will be destroyed by the sun. And that's a really hard one to mitigate scientifically. And then phase two, you get a little older and you go, I'm not upset about that. I will be long dead in 7.5 billion years. So, like, why would I ever? You'd have to be stupid to be upset by that. And then phase three is like, no, the child was right to be upset by that, because it means that, you know, all evidence of our existence on Earth may eventually be wiped out, which throws into disarray the concept of having a meaningful life right now. I'm not saying it means that life is meaningless. I'm simply saying if your goal, if one of the things keeping you going was having a legacy, well, in time, all things will fade, you know? I don't know, maybe there's like another phase four, which is like just YOLO it, but... We have the golden record, though. I'm not really all about that golden record stuff. Like, you think an alien civilization's ever going to find that and pop it into a Blu-ray player and be like, what the hell is this? They couldn't have just given us, like, season three of The Office? Instead, it's like, oh, there's fucking, like, this is how many protons are in a carbon atom. They'd be like, we already know that shit, dummy. We just caught your space record. We learned that shit like a trillion years ago. Give us something we don't know. It's really funny that you're talking about this, and then on the screen it says farting baby, period, he farts. That's true. That's true. He does, though. He do be. Yes, he does, folks. Many people are asking, do it be farting? Of course it'd be farting. Anyway, hi Tomo, I see you there. I see you, baby, shaking that paw. Oh, I should have waited. I should have waited like 3 seconds. He would have been laying down. Nothing can move the sedentary cat. Instead, I gave him a little bit of attention, and now he's up at my ankles. Hi, yeah, and a good meow to you as well, good sir. I did see that Christopher Nolan's favorite Peloton instructor did roast one of his movies. They said, and I quote, that's 2 hours of my life I won't get back. It's a very funny news story. And that's really all there is to it. I don't have like a whole wealth of content to glean from that. All, I say this as someone who's in an industry that's sort of like tangential to... a Peloton instructor. I wouldn't call myself like a tangential to a film director. It's kind of a different sort of thing. But it's not that dissimilar to a Peloton instructor. So I have to, if anyone's getting on the Peloton instructor's case, I just have to say that they have the right to their opinions on media, you know? They should be able to, you know, you're on the bike for 30 minutes. They can't just say, oh, cadence 80, resistance, you know, 35 to 40. They gotta talk about little, you know, little banter holes now and then. I do the same. Like, I'd be annoyed if, like, a director watched my content and I talked about their movie and said I didn't like it. And then he, like, the director got on me on Twitter and was like, what do you mean you don't like it? It's like, bro, I'm literally just talking right now. I should have diplomatic immunity. I'm not a film critic, I'm just a guy. What, people aren't allowed to like not like your movies? Make it make sense. Yeah, Your Honor, he was yapping. Exactly. I think it's yap immunity. If you're a movie critic, or the other, you shouldn't be responding to movie critics and being like, no, actually, you're wrong, the movie's good. But like, at least that's kind of like, but they're the opposing forces in the arena. I'm literally just a dude in the stands, and I'm like, I'm rooting for the lads in the blue shirts. What if a Peloton instructor said he didn't like your Isaac episodes? I know you're going to hit me with a sure on this one. It would roll off of me like water off of a duck's back. It's part of the business. Now, if he came into chat and said, hey, I don't like your Isaac episodes, I would ban him, because that's just spreading hate for no reason. And as somebody that's in the industry, they should know better than to go to someone else's stadium and go... hey, I don't like this. It's the same way, like, I would never go to a studio ride for Peloton and be like, you know, hey, Christine, I don't like your rides. You know, that's her home turf. That's an affront. Hello, Daniel. Thank you for the raid. Thank you. How was your, wait, what you were playing? I went to Twitch homepage today. I forgot adverbs. I went to, or ad nouns. I went to the Twitch homepage. Is that a conjunction? What is it? What did I, listen, okay, so I know what a noun is. I know what a verb is. I know what an adjective is. And in the last 10 years, I learned what pronouns are. I still don't know, like, what is the, what is and, what is of. I know, like, a semicolon, that's a punctuation mark. What is a gerund? Those are articles. That explains why I don't read them. I just look at the pictures. A gerund is when you have ing. Like Otto the bus driver. You know, they call them fingers, but I've never seen them thing. I can't tell if this is giga brain or complete idiot brain. It sounds so stupid that it's something that you could only say if you were a genius. Don't kill me. I'm so ass at Isaac, bro. Oh, man, take me back. It sounds so stupid that it's something only a smart person could say, okay? Why do we need to learn grammar? Can't you just speak the language? Like, I know this sounds like an idiotic thing to say, but I feel like this is the sort of thing that, like, Wayne Gretzky would say about hockey. He would be like, what do you mean, like, how do I do it? Just do it. It's baked into your brain, bro. You've been playing this sport your whole life. Oh, who should I pass it to? The guy who's going to score, dumbass. You got to learn the rules so you can break them more effectively? Yeah, but you learn the rules, like, before you even have a memory. You know what I mean? Or at least if you're a native English speaker. Like, I don't remember learning to speak English. It's like one day my brain just switched on and I was like, you know, now is the winter of our discontent made glorious summer by the sons of York. How did you learn French? I fucking didn't, bro. They didn't teach me any... Well, actually, you know what it is? I would say, and again, I'm not well-versed in, like, the model of language learning, but I feel like they wasted too much time teaching us the rules of French when instead they could have just been like, hey, we're going to spend an hour every day speaking French. Or maybe we're going to do, like, a 20-minute lesson and then 40 minutes of, like, dialogue practice. Instead, every test was, like, written in English, and it was like, what are the Mrs. Vandertramp verbs? Weren't you an ESL teacher? Yeah, but we, I mean, again, I'm not trying to get on my high horse here necessarily. We didn't really teach that much in the way of grammar rules. It was mostly like practical English. It was less like, you know, what's an adverb? And it was more like how to survive an interaction like with a grocery store cashier. I'm still learning that one. Well, you got to go to a different school for that, I think. You were probably supposed to learn that in regular school, but, you know, it turns out that no child left behind left some children behind. And you know what? We're picking them back up. Hey! By the way, can I say something? I thought I was going to get crucified for saying this in the Discord. But it's true. This weekend, I hadn't had a McDonald's hamburger in a long time. This weekend, Kate wasn't feeling too well. She said, I want McDonald's. I said, sure, no problem. I ordered the McDonald's through the app. I thought to myself, you know, I don't really want to eat like a whole McDonald's combo. It's just a little much for me right now. So I just added a McDouble. I know what you're going to say. McDouble's pretty prodigious sandwich. It's only 370 calories. It's not even, like, I expected it to be like 600-700, but it's not that crazy. I ate it. I enjoyed it immensely. And I want to say something, but let's talk through it together. The McDouble, it actually clears 95% of restaurant hamburgers. And I'm not just talking about fast food hamburgers. I'm talking about sit-down restaurant hamburgers. Let me explain. First, it's right-sized. You can eat it in one hand, and it stays together while you eat it. It's a little bit congealed, but like most restaurant burgers, like once you pick it up, it's hard to put it back down without it falling apart. And the top bun and the bottom bun are getting like plate tectonics and shifting. Number two, they do something with the pickles and the cheese. I don't know what it is. American cheese almost always tastes bad, but for some reason in a McDonald's hamburger, it's like Nicole Kidman at AMC. Even American cheese tastes good in a place like this. I don't really know if I have a number three. I guess number three is like, because I was hitting some objections in the Discord. They said the McDouble used to be a dollar and now it's like, you know, $2.79 or something like that. That may be true, but a restaurant hamburger used to be $9 and now they're all $16.79. So, I mean, like, we're, as long as we're comparing apples to apples here, everything's gone up in price, okay? The McDonald's prices might have gone up a little bit less than the average restaurant. Also, in today, I know McDonald's, health-wise, you know, it gets a bad rap, and there's good reasons for that. But I feel like 370 calories in today's modern era is actually like a, it almost feels like a downright, it's a caloric bargain, given the flavor. Let's put it that way. Like, obviously, the macros maybe are not health food, so I'm tiptoeing a little bit. But, like, the baked oatmeal I had for breakfast this morning is, like, by design, it's, like, you know, 450 calories per serving or something like that. The McDouble at 370 doesn't seem, like, that horrible when you consider that. Now, I saw some people saying they're eating three McDoubles in a sitting. That's not the restaurant's fault, okay? That's something you got to take up with God, okay? So that's my thoughts on a McDouble. And I honestly, it had been a long time since I'd had a McDonald's hamburger. And those are my honest opinions. I may occasionally, I've been a chicken nugget Andy since I was like 5 years old probably. I may occasionally mix a McDouble into the ecosystem instead. I may occasionally go McDouble. Did you know that in Super Size Me, the reason the dude got so messed up is because he was an alcoholic, not because he was eating McDonald's every day? Listen, I'm sure that there is a little of column A and column B, but that is actually my Morgan Spurlock black pill. It's like when we watched that shit in 11th grade, after like 2 weeks of eating McDonald's, he goes into the doctor and the doctor's like, your liver enzymes look horrible. They look like a late stage alcoholic. The dude was like, oh my God, I gotta stop eating McDonald's. He was a late stage alcoholic at the time. It's a scam, bro. I'm not saying it's good for you. I'm just saying Super Size Me kind of like, it's fake, man. We gotta do like a second Super Size Me with just a guy. Just find a regular guy and be like you, because I'm sure he's going to have some side effects, okay? But we at least need a control to the experiment, right? No, I'm not going to do it. I got a kid. Somebody with nothing to lose should do it. Yeah, and then his girlfriend was like, oh, he's suffering from like sexual performance issues. Me watching that in the 11th grade, I was like, what the hell are they putting in the Big Macs? Me watching it now, I'm like, oh, duh. Not to make light of his condition, but at the same time, I'm like, this... They were really lighting that corporation up, bro. It is funny. You're right. Well, I shouldn't say you're right. I'll say you're not wrong. Back in the day, that movie was like a huge deal, and now it would literally be like a 20-minute YouTube video. That is damn true. I had to digest the information a little bit more. It would be like, I'm at a McDonald's. You know, that would be the start of the video. Ripped to the legend. They made us watch it in school? Same, bro. But I don't hold that against them. I watched Remember the Titans like 30 times. I watched Dante's Peak, Armageddon at least two or three times. Dumb and Dumber, I watched, this is real, I watched in French and in English. We watched Dumb and Dumber in geography class. We watched Pearl Harbor in geography class, which makes no sense. Watched Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade in history class. Listen, I mean, like, is it... It's kind of similar to history, sure, but I think the teacher was just excited to take a couple days off. We watch Mean Girls in Spanish. Bro, I watch Mean Girls in psychology class. I start student teaching in the spring. Do you have any advice? Yes, but first, well, the legend is here as well. Daniel's here. He's a former teacher. But also, or at least he was here for the raid. In order for this to make sense, I need to know what grade you are teaching or what age you are teaching, because it greatly changes things. I only did it for a year, so I didn't pick up like a ton of sage wisdom. What I would say, if you are teaching kids, I think everybody, if you're teaching like young kids, like, you know, grade 1 through grade 6, let's say, everybody that has watched Matilda says, if I'm going to be a teacher, I'm going to be Miss Honey, okay? I'm going to be every kid's friend. I'm going to be the inspiring teacher. If you're teaching grade 1, you need to, at least for the first couple of days, you basically need to be a prison warden. You need to set, and it's merciful. You need to accept, you need to set the boundaries of what's okay in the class and what's not, so you can provide a good learning environment. And then kids will test the boundaries for like the first couple of days, and you got to make an example out of those kids so that the rest of the kids know, you know, we're not messing about in this class. That's the secret. And then you can be Miss Honey. But that's the thing. Every kid is like, why aren't you Miss Honey? Well, listen to me, Sally. Why aren't you Matilda? I'm not talking about telepathy. Like, that's not really like a realistic expectation to have. But you're not being like kind-hearted and, you know, warm and you know, being friends to the other kids and inspiring your classmates. Your ass is like, the rule is like, you know, don't talk when you're doing your workbook, and your ass is yapping nonstop. So yeah, go see the principal. And why isn't your dad Danny DeVito? You have to be reasonable in your punishment, though. I don't even think like that's a problem anymore. Like, I think if your teacher gave you detention, like, the parents would call the school and have the teacher fired. So like, I'm pretty sure anything that you are allowed to do according to the code of conduct is probably like, you're not stepping over the line. Let's put it that way. That's my expectation, at least. Oh, you're teaching, okay, social studies in high school. Honestly, like, I don't know all about that, because you're teaching like, basically you're teaching nearly adults. So they will probably behave in class. I mean, I feel like if you're in the fourth grade and you misbehave in class, you're like, you're a child. Like, that's my fault that you're misbehaving. It's my fault and evolution's fault. If you're in the 11th grade and you want to fuck around in social studies class, like, you're only hurting yourself later in life, and you should have the long-term thinking and executive function to understand that. So honestly, it's like, if you want to you want to skip class and not do your homework in 11th grade, honestly, I think that's a decision that you will probably come to regret in a few years. I could be wrong, but it's your choice. Student teaching is like crazy, dude. If you're student teaching high school, like, you might be like, you know, 22. And then you're teaching like 17-year-olds. That's tough. That is, I'm 21 teaching 18-year-olds. Yeah, that's tough. I feel like if a teacher is old, there's kind of like, I wouldn't say built-in respect necessarily, but there's almost like a, they have an expectation of how to behave around like someone with a big gray beard or something like that. But if you're like the same age, you're like, what are we doing here? I teach 2 to 5th graders. They were so impressed when I knew what Skibidi Toilet is. Not me going on tours for where my daughter is going to go to kindergarten, and they have like a big sign in the classroom with the kids like writing their favorite things on it. And like 8 of the kids wrote, I show speed. It wasn't a kindergarten class, but I was still like, holy. But then on the other hand, I was like, yo, job security. The kids are still watching YouTube. Let's go. You think you'll ever show speed? I want to smoke the shit that made speed show. No, maybe I don't, now that I think about it. Anyway. Yeah, so the long story short, do I have any advice? I guess the answer, it turns out, is no. But you'll be fine. How would you feel if you were suddenly really popular in the age 10 to 14 demo? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to pivot off of that, okay? First off, that's like saying, like, how would you feel if you, like, won the lottery? And I would be like, that would, for step one, that would be really surprising because I don't play the lottery. So as long as we're talking about things that, like, have no chance of happening, then I'm going to treat it with the level of respect that it deserves. Secondly, I'm pivoting off of that to instead talk about how it's crazy to me that there, I think a lot of people here are doing it ironically. Anytime we mention Skibidi Toilet being watched by like 8-year-olds, people in chat are like, the next generation is totally cooked, bro. And I'm like, what do you mean the next generation? Like, you're 28 years old. You're talking in my Twitch chat. It's 9:50 a.m. on a Thursday. Like, what? Who do you think you are, motherfucker? Oh, the 8-year-olds watching YouTube are fucked, bro. What are you doing with your time right now? You're not doing shit. Bro, I'm on lunch break. Yeah, yeah, okay. They're at recess, motherfucker. Cut them some slack. You're the one who threw the first stone. Sure, they're kids, man. You'll figure it out. They're like literally in like the third grade or something right now. You'll be fine. As fine as you can be, at least. What the hell is Skibidi Toilet? See, now this is a person who's got it figured out. Oh, almost knocked over my Coke Zero. Oh. Would have been a disaster. What do you prefer? Smoking the shit that made Walter white or smoking the shit that made Jesse pink man? For cadence, I have to say I like number one. But for content, I like number two. So I can see why you asked, because it is it's a tough choice. See, given what we've talked about already, someone in chat has asked multiple times, do you know the movie Wolf from 1994? Please tell me you're not the director of Wolf, okay? Because we just went over this. You shouldn't be going into people's chats, picking fights with them just based on their opinion of the movie, okay? Maybe they loved it, maybe they hated it, maybe they don't get it. But you made the piece of art, and now the art, it partly belongs to you and it partly belongs to society, okay? You can't be its steward for the rest of your life. You make it, you put it out into the world, and then you see what happens. Anyway, I've never seen it, I think. I don't know if I've ever heard of it. So you believe in the death of the artist, then? I don't know about all that. I just, like, watch things. I was going to say, or read things, but let's be honest. I do listen to things from time to time. I think I kind of believe in death of the artist. Because, like, artists change over time. I think if you could get if you could flash memory a copy of Billy Corgan circa 1993, that artist has ownership over Cherub Rock. But Billy Corgan 2023 is not Billy Corgan 1993. I'm sure if I asked him, like, what's your magnum opus, he would talk about something insane. I'm like, it's no longer you. It was a version of you 30 years ago that wrote that I would treat as an authoritative source on that. My impression of Cherub Rock is now the authority to which I serve, rather than a version of you that used to exist and no longer does. Melancholy is better. Okay, I get it. You love Panic at the Disco. That's fine. You're a theater kid. There's nothing wrong with that. I can get down with Tonight Tonight, just like anybody can. But for me personally, I'm a Siamese Dream enjoyer. Some of their earlier work as well. Although, to be honest, I think Smashing Pumpkins, one of those bands where actually, when they got a little bit more mainstream, temporarily, they got a lot better. You know, like almost Nirvana style. When they kept the noise, but then they added like some melodic hooks, that's where they were at their peak for me. And then they lost it. I don't know. Not with Melancholy, but after that. Smoke on the shit that made Richard Linklater. Richard Linklater if he made Austin Powers? Should we link now or link later, baby? Yes! Come on, baby, we gotta link before sunrise. And before sunset. Yeah! I don't know what else. I'm a slacker, baby, yeah! What is the wording? This has been bothering me. I should have just gone back and watched the movie. What is the wording on that joke in Austin Powers 1? It's the 90s, Austin. Not just sailors use condoms. Well, they should, the dirty boys. They go from port to port. But the wording is not quite right. What does he say? What does she say? Anyway, nobody knows. Oh, that's right. She says, did you use protection? And then it all snapped into place like a Lego set. Did you use protection? No, baby, only sailors use condoms. Not in the 90s, Austin. Well, they should. They go from port to port. Oh, man. You know what? Dave Chappelle is not when my goat is washed. Everything Mike Myers has written since Austin Powers 2 is my goat is washed. I don't know if he was involved in the writing process on Shrek and Shrek 2 and Shrek 3 and Shrek 4 ever after, but I keep watching all the new Mike Myers stuff, thinking maybe he'll recapture a little bit of the magic, and it's just not there anymore, man. It's just not there, and that's fine. You in the Love Guru hive? No, it's definitely, the critics are right on that one. It's certainly one of the worst movies ever made. It's horrible. Bro's saying he liked the Shrek movies, but doesn't know if Myers had the writing credit. 28-year-olds when 35-year-olds don't know who wrote their favorite movie from when they were 11. That's not... I'm basically hitting you with a stray, because for some reason the Twitter algorithm thinks I'm obsessed with cartoons. You're 35 already? Yeah, I got here... right on time, I would say, right on time. 35 years to the day after I was born. Did you see the tweet? It's funny, we've talked about this before, but every once in a while, the Library of Alexandria, aka Twitter, reveals that I'm not the first person with this thought. And you would think that I would feel bad because I'm not as original as I think I am, but actually it feels great to just be seen. In an element of like convergent evolution. Someone was tweeting and they were talking about how their parents like are always busy cleaning the house and puttering around and stuff like that. And they didn't get it. So they asked their parents, like, why do you never like take a rest or something like that? And the parents said, time is gonna pass no matter what. So you might as well spend it like beautifying your environment. I was like, oh shit, bro. That's how I feel about aging as well. I'm like, you're gonna... I guess it's not something that people consciously think about. I'm not sensitive about my age. People are like, don't care, didn't ask, you're 35. Well, your ass is gonna be 35 one day too, bro. The only thing that's gonna change is like where you're at when you're 35. Like, that's the only thing that you have control over. In a decade? Yeah, when you were fucking 15, you were like, my ass is never going to be 25. And plus, when I'm 25, I'm going to have it all figured out. And now look at you. You probably are looking back and you're like, I had it more figured out when I was 15. But you didn't, okay? That's snake oil. You thought you had it figured out when you were 15. The reason you don't feel like you have it as figured out now is because you're more aware of the complexity of the world and your brain's a lot bigger. You're aware of more stuff. You had less to figure out. I think about that sometimes. I'm like, I don't know. I don't spend all my time doing chores. There is some time on the bike as well. But I've sublimated myself into doing the dishes. I've gotten to the point where, like, after dinner, I'll, like, eat dinner quick so I have more time to do the dishes. And you might say, why? It's because the dishes have got to be done anyway, you know? I might as well... You can either learn to love the walls of your prison, or you can... Where am I going with this? Let me think about it. Listen, what I'm trying to say is we're all in a prison, okay? In a metaphorical sense. Probably not in a literal sense, because I don't think they'll let you have like a phone. Unless you're maybe in like a Norwegian prison or something, in which case I'm happy for you. But I think they only get the PS4 there. So you are kind of missing out on Demon's Souls Remake and then like the other three games that have come out so far. Norwegian inmates, when they don't get to play Spider-Man 2 Miles Morales. Anyway, you can either learn to love the walls that surround you, or you can spend your whole life trying to break out. But there is no breaking out. You just find out when you break out of the prison, you're inside of an even larger prison. What I'm saying is that I think if I got put in jail, I would be even stronger. The closer the walls get, the easier they are to embrace. Hang on, where am I? There's something in here. I'm working on it. You wouldn't make it in prison? Let me guess, you've watched Oz. Yes, twice. Okay. Yeah, no, sorry. I didn't realize I was arguing with an expert. I have talked about it before. Why don't the dudes in prison just chill? I know you're gonna laugh at this, but I really think there's like something to it. Most do? Okay, well then that's, I'm glad that 95% do. Cause what I've always, admittedly, you know, like I don't know shit about prison either. So I've seen Oz and like the Green Mile. I thought it was like 98% chaos or whatever, right? I feel like though, if, I'm saying I could turn that organization around. If I went into prison, I think I would simply, on day one, I would stand up and have a conversation. I would talk to the people and I would say, listen, we don't need to fight anymore, okay? We don't need to fight. We don't need to steal toothbrushes and whittle them down into sharp objects and stab each other for our Nutrilof and stuff like that. Listen, this may be prison, at the same time, let's take advantage of that to some extent. All of our needs are temporarily provided to us by the state. We got a library with some books in it. We got a television. We got, you know, fairly limited responsibilities. We get some exercise time. How about we just, everybody just relax. We'll have some conversations, read some books, like enjoy each other's company and just embrace this as like a weird little time in our lives and get whatever we can get out of it before we get out of it. There's no reason to fight. You know, we're all supposed to be on the same side here. They would probably kill you on day one. I don't think so. Maybe, I don't know. I would go piggy mode, I think. If they were gonna kill me, I would just be like, fine, do it. Cause like in death, I would serve as a symbol. Whereas alive, I can only be a man, you know? Same guy who would defeat a panda. I don't know why people always go for the panda. A 5% chance of defeating an actual bear with a survival instinct in combat is way more naive than thinking I could kill a panda before a panda killed me. I don't think a panda... Is there ever a recorded instance in history of a panda killing a human being on purpose? Like maybe like somebody lived with pandas and one of them rolled over on top of it? Like I don't think there's... You ever hear, oh, a panda escaped from the zoo? Those fuckers love prison. Well, we're on the subject at least. Google says no. Google says, as a large language model. What about Kung Fu Panda? Listen, motherfucker. There's a reason why Kung Fu Panda is so funny is because a panda is not considered a traditionally athletic creature, okay? That's why they made it a panda. There's some irony in there. It's unexpected. If they wanted it to be normal, they would have said like Kung Fu Lion or something like that. Thank you, Joke Explainer. Well, Joke Explainers get a bad rap because motherfuckers these days don't get the joke. Could you beat Jack Black in a fight? It wouldn't come to that. I think he'd pick up on the vibes. He would recognize that we're on the same side, and he would not kill me on the first day of prison. Pick up on the vibes and leave quickly? No, I think we'd probably become best friends, if I had to guess. We got a lot in common. We both like Jack Black movies. We both have a child. Super Mario, that's another one. Could you be Jack Black in Smash 64? Honestly, you guys are lucky. Maybe you're unlucky that Smash 64 is not the biggest Smash game instead of Smash Melee. Because all the shit that you're thinking about, you have these preconceived notions that I'm terrible at video games, especially fighting games. You don't even know, bro. It's just a... For some things, I was born in the right place at the right time, okay? I was a perfect age to start YouTube and Twitch. I was around when they were invented. I didn't have any other responsibilities that took up too much of my time. I was the perfect age to ride that wave, okay? I was just slightly wrong place, wrong time for Melee. I got Smash 64 as like a 10-year-old. Dominated all the kids in my neighborhood. Skipped the GameCube because I thought Nintendo was washed. Bought a PlayStation 2, certainly not the wrong decision. Then all my other friends got an Xbox. They said, screw your PlayStation 2, it sucks ass. Get an Xbox. I got an Xbox. Never went back to the PlayStation 2. If I had bought a GameCube instead, things could look a lot different right now. That's all I'm saying. It's like The Undertaker talking about how he never got into MMA. Two ships in the night passing each other by. Could be playing Tears of the Kingdom right now. And Hatsune Miku, Project Diva F for 6 viewers. But goddamn it, when Smashbox Melee rolled around, Cincinnati 2014, and I top-8ed, people would have respected me. They would have said, yeah, he's better than me at Melee, but he's still washed compared to the GOATs. And that would be enough. No, I don't think there's a parallel universe where I'm an anime fan. And I say that honestly. I watched Dragon... Well, I watched Sailor Moon as like a really young kid. It used to air on the Canadian Cartoon Channel. I didn't really know what I was watching, you know. I was like probably like 5 to 8 years old. Then later I got into Dragon Ball Z, and of course when the Pokemon anime came on, I was a big fan of the game, so I watched it all the time. But then as a teenager, which I feel like is a very important moment in a embryonic anime fan's life, I remember Josh told me, like, hey, you know, you can use VLC Media Player to watch like streamed anime. And I turned on something, and I watched for like 12 minutes or something, and I was like, I don't think this is for me. Even like, I watched Pokemon, and then they were hyping up Digimon. They were like, Digimon's coming after Pokemon, even though it came out before or something, and it's even better. And then I watched like 4 episodes of Digimon, and I was like, they're cooked, man. It's fucking washed. I'm not saying anime's bad. I think just... I got exposed to it as like a, basically like a 13-year-old, and then my body just rejected it, and I never really went back.